Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first quarter trading update conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Richard Menteith-Gale. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. It's Richard Menteith-Gale, Director of Investor Relations at Informa. Hopefully, you have all had a chance to read the first quarter trading update statement we put out this morning. I'm here with Gareth Wright, the Group Finance Director. We're going to follow the normal format. He's going to say a few opening remarks, and then we will jump straight to Q&A. Over to you, Gareth.
Thanks, Richard. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. We are reporting today that Informa has delivered a solid first quarter trading performance, and that the investment programme to deliver the growth acceleration plan is underway and on schedule. There's a long way to go in the year, and the first quarter is a smaller quarter than the average, but this performance means that we're on track to deliver our trading objectives for 2015. Expectations for the full year remain unchanged. The balance sheet remains healthy, and we are confident in our ability to deliver strong free cash flow in 2015, despite the extra investment going into the growth acceleration plan. Turning to the divisional trading performance, academic publishing performed broadly as expected in the first quarter. Growth of 0.3% was below our long-term average for the business, but doesn't change our expectations for the full year. We saw some lumpiness in the books trading, and we saw a slightly higher than average level of books returns, both things that we've seen in quarters before, and which tend to even out over the course of the year. Overall, this is a reliable and resilient business, and we remain confident of delivering another year of growth in line with or ahead of the wider academic market. In business intelligence, we continue to make steady progress. The new management team is focusing on customer management and the renewals process, as well as managing our sales teams more effectively, and this appears to have had an impact in the quarter. As a result, the run rate of decline has improved compared to 2014, with a 6.8% year-on-year decline over the 3 months. We are also focused on launching the various BI investment programs as part of the Growth Acceleration Plan, with around a third of the total project spend earmarked for business intelligence. Some of these initiatives were kicked off in the first quarter, with more to follow in 2015, which is consistent with our longer-term plan to return the division to a positive growth run rate by the end of 2016. The revenue performance of the two events divisions has been heavily influenced by timing changes in events year on year, but on an underlying basis, both divisions are in line with our expectations for 2015. In knowledge and networking, our conference and learning business, we continue to see good potential for improvement over the period of the Growth Acceleration Plan. The trading result for the first quarter was impacted by the scheduling of certain larger events into the second quarter. Without that phasing, the organic revenue result for Q1 would be in line with the revenue performance from the second half of 2014. For knowledge and networking, we expect these phasing variances to reverse through 2015, and we continue to target a positive organic growth run rate by year end. In global exhibitions, we are reporting another strong result with organic growth at 15.6% across the first 3 months. In this division, phasing is a net benefit in Q1. Excluding all the scheduling changes, the 15.6% organic growth would have been a low double-digit number. Above all, we're pleased with the performance of our flagship events in the first quarter in global exhibitions. Our top 20 events represent around 60% of divisional revenues, and the three top 20 events included in the Q1 organic revenue growth grew by around 15% year-on-year. For global exhibitions, we expect the quarterly phasing variances to reverse within the year, but the 2014 editions of the quadrennial IPEX and the biennial Formobile will impact year-on-year growth in 2015. So in summary, the group's underlying trading performance was as we anticipated over the first 3 months, and our expectations for the full year remain unchanged. This represents a balanced performance delivered in a period of continuing operational transition for Informa, which has also seen the launch of the Growth Acceleration Plan investment programme. Rich and I would now be happy to have any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue, by pressing star 2. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we have an opening question from Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I've got three questions, actually. First one, is it fair to say that stripping out the quarterly timing effects and also the biennial and quadrennial effects from last year and this year, that global exhibitions growth has slowed a little bit compared to last year? And second question, when you're talking about the wider academic market growth, I think going back to your investor day, you talked about 2-3% as a fairly typical growth rate. So can we assume that's the benchmark that you're using? And then the third question, in knowledge and networking, your like-for-like trend's pretty similar to what we've seen through 2013 and 14. So what gives you confidence that growth in that division can gradually start to improve from here?
Okay, hi Nick. In terms of exhibitions, I think Q1 in isolation probably is a touch slower. I mean, I think overall we're comfortable with the full year expectations, as I said, in the lower double digit growth rates, which is still well ahead of the market average for that division. Last year, there were some strong performances in some of the businesses like Arab Health, etc. It's pretty good this year, as I said in the piece. On the organic growth in the large events, there's 15% growth, which we're pretty happy with. But overall, it is a touch probably lower in Q1 in isolation. On the 2% to 3% growth rate, yes, that is what we talked about previously. And on KNN, I think what's happening there is that the management team is in place now. They have got the business set up the way they want to have it set up going forward, which is something they've done during the course of Q1. And really now it's a matter of focusing on the scale benefits they can get from the structure they've put in place, the focus it gives them in terms of the focus on the key markets. And they'll also be having a look at the portfolio and portfolio of events and making sure they're playing to their strengths and running the good events as well as they can do. So there's no sort of single thing that they're doing there in 2015, but I think it's a bit about running the business slightly more effectively and slightly better than it has been run in the past. The growth acceleration plan benefits that division will really start from 2016 onwards, so we're looking at making operational improvements in 15, and then the investment starts to come through going forward.
Okay, sorry Gareth, can I just come back to what you said about exhibitions, and you said growth in the lower double digit. So can I just confirm on what basis you mean that? You mean for the full year, including the drags from biennials and quadrennials?
No, that's in Q1 that we're talking about there.
Oh, you're talking about Q1. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about for the full year. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We will take our next question from Matthew Walker of Nomura. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Oh, hi, good morning everyone. I was just wondering, could you be a little bit more granular on some of the things that have been done in the business information division so far and what projects you're launching in 2015? And the other one, could you, on the books business and academic publishing, you've mentioned a growth rate for the market of 2-3, so you think you'll be at or ahead of that market. Has anything happened in the quarter, or will it happen for the first half with the leftovers from Sweats? And you mentioned that there's been a higher level of returns. Is that a concern for later in the year or not?
Hi Matthew. No, in terms of the returns, that is not something I think that we're overly concerned about on a full year basis. I mean, you do get these sort of patterns from time to time, and it can be a bit lumpy. It's just about dealing with a 13-week period here, and therefore it's come through in the overall growth rate. But I think on a full year basis, we don't have any particular concerns at this stage about the ramifications for our ability to deliver revenue growth in line with what you've seen in the past and come to expect in this division. In terms of sweats, that money is sort of slowly coming through. There's no particular change in expectations there. By the end of the first quarter, I think we'd received around three quarters of that cash. Again, no particular concerns there on our behalf. It's just working through the system, and the team are managing it on a customer-by-customer basis to make sure it comes in, but no particular dynamics that we're concerned about there on sweats. In terms of the DM, in terms of the projects in BI, the first thing the team have really done is looked at how the sales teams are working. So Patrick and his new head of sales are looking to manage the sales teams more effectively, giving them targets, managing them more closely, managing them on the five divisional verticals that we've set up for business intelligence, and running those teams with a bit more resource as well, and looking to get a bit more out of them going forward. So that was kind of a first part of the growth acceleration plan for BI, was to recruit a bit of extra resource into the sales teams and reorganise the sales teams to be a bit more effective. And I think that has had a bit of a benefit in terms of sales and renewal rates through the first quarter. It's early days, we're not getting sort of carried away with it, but there has been a bit of a short-term benefit in terms of that one. And another area where we've kicked off a project is in one of the five verticals, which I won't mention for sort of commercial confidentiality reasons, but basically in that vertical we've identified that the analyst capability has been reduced a bit as part of the cost cutting over the last couple of years to maintain the margin, and we've put a bit of capability back into that vertical, and that's enabling us to better service the customer requirements there and increase the breadth of coverage of topics in the sector, where we'd perhaps become a bit narrow compared to the competition as a result of lower resources. And the increased headcount is enabling us to open out our breadth of coverage, which is what our customer feedback tells us that our subscribers are looking for from us. So those are kind of early projects we've started off. There are a number of other projects for BI coming through the pipeline in Q2, but the program is up and running with the PMO in place for BI that they need to support them, and we're confident that we'll deliver the growth acceleration plans that we have for that division over the next couple of years.
And just on I remember at the full year you mentioned something to do with levels of deferred revenue in this division, which gave you some hope for it. Could you maybe sort of say how that's moved, or have there been any changes in that are relevant?
No particular changes in that profile since year end. As we said at the year end, it's not a negative position to be in, but it's not something that we're reading too much into either.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Cheers.
We will take our next question from Jonathan Halliwell of Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Three little things from me, actually. The first is, on the World of Concrete being up 20%, that actually sounds rather stronger even than I'd expected. Is that ahead of what you were expecting for that business at this stage? Second, if you just give a bit more colour on trading conditions in Russia, which you mentioned specifically for knowledge networking, I'm sure it's bad, but love to get a bit more colour on it and just the scale of it, obviously, in group context or in divisional context. And then the third thing is just in business intelligence, are you getting any assistance yet from the two market areas which were holding you back, so pharma and financials, or would you say that it's all what you've been doing internally that's driven the slight improvement so far?
Yeah, I think on business intelligence, we're not seeing any specific change in the market really at the moment. I think the market is as it was in 2014, and there's no particular pickup in the market that's driving the improvement in our decline. I think, as we said in the piece, it's more around one or two of the operational improvements I think that we've made so far around the sales teams, I think, that are giving us a bit of a better performance, but no particular or material change in the market conditions in that space. In terms of World of Concrete, we are very pleased with that performance. It is a, you know, our due diligence always told us that was a particularly strong brand and a show that the exhibitors thought very highly of and valued very highly. So that was a, you know, a key part of the brand and a key part of the acquisition. The performance of the business in, or performance of that show in 2015 was a bit ahead of the model, which is pleasing and you know, a testament to the team's efforts out in the US. In terms of Russia, I think really on Russia, there's not a big change from the second half of 15. There is a bit of a change against Q1 14 when you come to look at the numbers. But against the second half, probably there's a bit less change. Really, it's the ongoing dynamic around sanctions and the restrictions that puts on trading. There's a bit of a weakness in the oil and gas sector in Russia over the lower oil price, and that is also having an impact on their sort of confidence and disposable income. So it is it's not a material factor for the group overall, but in knowledge and networking as a division in isolation, it's worth a couple of percentage points of their revenue, and so therefore becomes a more important factor.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
We will take our next question from Vignesh Adiaci of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. A couple of questions. Firstly, on BI, can you update us? I think you were planning to sell some of the consumer businesses. Where are you with that? And secondly, in knowledge and networking, are you seeing any signs of a kind of improved European economy? I think you've got some businesses there in Germany in particular. Are there any signs of improvement there?
Hi, Paddy. No, on Europe, I think basically with the performance there is pretty flat, Q1 15 versus Q1 14. No deterioration, but no particular improvement really in that that business's performance in 2015. And on the sale process, there is no specific update on that process at this stage. We're still working through our options, but at this stage, no specific update.
Great, thank you.
We will take our next question from Ruchi Malaya of Bank of America. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning, Gareth. On business intelligence, can you maybe talk about how confident you are that the division can continue to improve from here, and maybe what the risks are around it getting worse before it continues to get better, or from this point onwards, is your base case that we should see ongoing improvement in the rate of decline? And then secondly, just on the shape of the exhibitions business, is the phasing just between first quarter, second quarter, or is there anything in particular we should keep in mind about the weighting between the first half and the second half and the phasing of the events business? Thanks.
Hi, Richie. In terms of business intelligence, I think we're making progress in that division, but I think it's early days to be saying that we think it's going to be a smooth upward trend from here. There's definitely a timing effect around, you know, the short-term improvements that the management team are able to make in the business versus the longer-term growth acceleration plan investments coming on stream, because that's what ultimately will underpin growth in that division. So, you know, if the timing works in our favour and, you know, the sales improvements are still running and having an effect when the growth acceleration plan investments begin to come on stream and have an effect, then it may be a smooth trend, but that's quite difficult to choreograph it exactly right. And therefore, you know, I think overall we're comfortable with the direction of travel, but there may be some sort of bumps along the way as we go through the next 2 years. In terms of sort of a risk to the sort of smooth transition, one thing I think we would point out is that whereas subscriptions are around about 85% of revenue in that division, one-off sales are about 15%, so again they could, you know, cause one or two ups or downs along the way as we close deals in areas like consulting, etc. So that could also produce a little bit of volatility. But overall, we're comfortable with the, you know, the progress being made, and we're comfortable with our ability to return the division to a growth run rate by the end of 16. In terms of the phasing in exhibitions, the phasing will certainly reverse across the year, but I don't think it'll reverse entirely in Q2. There's a bit of a dynamic whereby some of the Q2 events have gone into Q3. So I say we're comfortable with the position across the whole of the year, but the phasing will continue to move around a bit between quarters.
Great, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Andrea Beneventi of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from me, please, on academic publishing. First, could you give us a little bit of detail by type of products? Are book revenues still growing, and print versus digital, please? And secondly, do you include the effect of the contract with Bloomsbury in the organic, and how much did it contribute to the quarter, please?
In terms of academic overall, I mean, I think at this stage we're really saying that, you know, we're not changing our full year view of any of the individual dynamics around academic. So at this stage, I think there's, you know, the dynamics are material enough to really change how we would position it. E-books are still making progress, but again, no particular change in the overall portion of the revenue of our books business. And in terms of journals and revenues, the journals market is, you know, proceeding as we kind of thought it would in 2015. So renewal rates and pricing are no different to expectations there. And in terms of the books generally, I mean, as I said, we've had a bit of a lumpy start to the year in terms of books revenues and returns. But again, nothing that would change our view of the full year basis. In academic, in terms of the Bloomsbury deal that you mentioned, no, that's not. There's nothing in our organic for that deal.
Okay, maybe a follow-up question on the returns. Are they coming from one specific region or sales channel?
No particular regions. And it's also a fairly global business at the moment, global business these days. So, so you can kind of purchase in one place, return somewhere else, which is something our team's got to get, has to be close to, and maintain control over. But there's no particular region you'd say that's influencing it. Possibly slightly higher in the US, but I don't think there's any particular dynamic there.
Okay, thank you.
We will take our next question from Roddy Davison of Westhouse Securities. Please go ahead, the line is open.
Morning, chaps. Just a couple of sort of higher level questions, if I may. Firstly, on acquisitions, just any comments on the pipeline, the aspirations, particularly in the context of deals that have been completed, you know, just sort of get a sense of your appetite on that front. And also, any comments on currency as an impact year to date, and also on how you might think that dynamic will play through as the year continues?
Yep. Hi, Roddy. In terms of M&A, we continue to review lots of opportunities. There are certainly lots of things coming across the table that we're putting into our process. But we're, you know, being rigorous in terms of our M&A assessments. And we're kicking the tires and everything quite carefully and looking at it in relation to the growth acceleration plan. And therefore, you know, in the first quarter of 2015, we've not completed anything significant. We've made a few bolt-ons in exhibitions, the Orlando show that we talked about previously, I think, and also in academic we made one or two bolt-ons there, but nothing outside of academic and exhibitions. and I'd say nothing significant at this stage. With our balance sheet strength, we are positioned to move quickly should anything arise and should anything come up that we want to go for, which is the position that we wanted to be in coming out of 2014. But at this stage, nothing material in early 2015. In terms of currency, I think it's difficult to tell exactly where consensus is on the US dollar at the moment because it's spread around a bit. But I think it's on or maybe just a touch above where the market FX rates are at the moment. But it's certainly very close to, 150 in terms of the consensus rate, which is pretty much on the market. So the USD is probably maybe a touch better than it has been. Euro is a touch worse. So overall, I would expect that when the consensus settles down after this, we would pretty much be on the market in terms of FX.
Okay, thanks. And just a quick supplementary on the acquisition question. Any sort of significant changes to availability or vendor aspirations in terms of prices over the last few months? And also, are the sort of deals that you could be doing or are looking at, are they tend to be subject to a sort of a long gestation period, or are they things which are sort of popping up that you haven't seen before?
On the gestation period, I mean, a number of things that we've had success with over recent years are things that we've, or assets that we've gotten close to over a longer period of time, built a relationship with, and therefore been well positioned to move when they become available. So I don't know whether you call that a long gestation period or sort of good business development, sort of industrial relations in the business, but we certainly try to build a relationship with these businesses over time so that we're in position with them when they come to market. But in terms of things that are going on at the moment, there's nothing significant that we've looked at in Q1 that is currently ongoing at this stage. But in terms of the aspirations in that market are possibly, if anything, a touch higher than they have been in recent times. I think it gives us comfort that the deals we did in 2014 around Virgo and around the Hanley Wood exhibition businesses were well-priced deals compared to some of the multiples we're seeing in the market in Q1 15. But overall, I think we haven't seen a long-term change in vendor aspirations in that space.
Okay, thanks for that.
We'll take our next question from Patrick Wellington of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, everybody. Couple of questions. The first one, Hanley Wood, we've had three of the big four shows so far this year, and you've told us about World of Concrete. I mean, do you want to tell us about the other two shows that have occurred? Secondly, on knowledge and networking, I thought at the full year it was notable that you were pretty bullish on the margin for this year. Any update on whether you think that margin will still be ahead of the 2014 level? And thirdly, just on the returns in academic, isn't that becoming somewhat habit-forming? I seem to remember the previous year as well. We had an unexpectedly strong Q4 followed by a bit of a duff Q1. Are we simply overstating Q4 and getting the kickback in Q1? Is that what's occurring in that business?
No, it's absolutely what's not occurring in that business. The trading in the run-up to year-end is based on shipments from suppliers, from customers. I think what you're seeing perhaps is customers looking to order before they get to the year-end changes in the pricing. So that is making the Q4 performance stronger and possibly therefore providing a bit of a headwind in Q1. So I think in the sense that the Q4 14 and Q4 13 were both very strong revenue performances, therefore both the last two Q1s have perhaps been a touch weaker. But that's not a dynamic that changes our view on the sort of full year trading performance at this stage. In terms of the Hanley Wood shows, yes, you're right. There's three of the main ones in the first quarter. We talked about World of Concrete. The International Surface Show out in Vegas and the International Roofing Expo have also taken place, which are three of the top four in total. All of them have performed well, and we're comfortable with all of their performance against plan. They've all been at or above of the acquisition model, and therefore we think that leaves us, you know, well positioned to build with that business, if you excuse the pun, going forward.
Presumably, World of Concrete is the best growth at 20%. That's why you've highlighted it. So the other ones would be less than that. But are they double digit?
Well, it's more that World of Concrete is the largest of the shows, and we're particularly, you know, pleased with that. But the others have grown at or ahead of the acquisition model. So yeah, that's a good result. But those numbers are not in the organic growth rate that we've reported. The organic growth strips out all three of those Hanley Wood shows.
Sure. And margins in knowledge and networking, sorry.
Yeah, in terms of knowledge and networking, I think that we remain confident that in the medium term, the margin is definitely improvable in that business. It may or may not be in 2015, but definitely over the medium term with the growth acceleration plan improvements and with the efforts to manage the portfolio more closely and rationalise the portfolio, that over the medium term we can definitely improve the margins in that business. But the key thing for us in 15, I think, is targeting an organic growth run rate by the end of the year and getting the business positioned for growth in the future.
Okay, so it's not necessarily, you seem quite certain that the full year stage, the margins would improve in 15, but maybe not.
I think there's opportunity perhaps for it to improve in 15, but it may be in 16. I think what we're saying is that margin improvement is not our number one priority in that business. Getting the business on a firm footing of revenue growth is the priority.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take another question from Andrea Beneventi of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you. One follow-up from me, please, on knowledge and networking. Are you still taking out capacity, and how many conferences are you planning to run in 2015 in total, please?
We are looking to, as in all parts of the business, we're looking to manage the portfolio more proactively going forward. But I think taking out capacity is not something we're looking to do a lot of at the moment. Just looking to sort of play to the strengths more and push the stronger shows in that space, rather than sort of large-scale reduction of capacity. Certainly in the past, a lot of the capacity reductions were delivered in areas like mainland Europe, and that is a more stable environment in 15 rather than an area where we're looking to take out a lot of the capacity. In terms of the overall number of shows, I think at this stage it wouldn't be massively dissimilar to 2014. But I think in knowledge and networking, unlike in global exhibitions, in knowledge and networking there's quite a long tail of small events, and so the headline number of events operated by knowledge and networking is perhaps less of a sort of KPI for us, if you like, or operating metric for us as a business than it is in something like global exhibitions. So that's not something we're specifically tracking in detail at this stage.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Steve Lechte of Investec. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi guys. Just a couple of quickies. One is, I know you stopped funding the China pharmaceutical thing for business intelligence. Does that have any material effect as we go through the year, or effect in 1Q in terms of your like-for-like?
No, Steve, no. There's no impact on the Q1 like-for-likes for that in 2015. There's no real revenue generation from that investment, which was a large part of the problem that led to the impairment at the 2014 year end, to be honest.
So basically, it wasn't doing the revenue, so no effect, but obviously there was a cost there. Yeah.
Correct, no revenue, no effect.
Yeah. There was no revenue from it, it was really just stopping funding, exactly.
Okay, fine. You referenced in the full year about closing and consolidation of events activities. Just to be absolutely clear, was that conferences stuff? And just to remind me, when you do close down these things, does that get included in the like-for-like?
Yes, yeah. The ongoing sort of management of the portfolio in both the events businesses is a key dynamic in the market in terms of looking at what events are going well, what's growing, what perhaps should be consolidated into another event, etc. We treat all that as part of the ongoing organic operation of the business, so none of that is stripped out of the revenue growth.
Okay, fine. So that we've got that in there. That's fine. And then, look, I don't want to go on about it, but Patrick's question about the margin on conferences, it did feel to me as though you were flagging, or certainly I've modelled, margin going up in fiscal 15 rather than waiting till 16. Is that you just being sort of cautious now, or has something changed? I just need to understand whether that is a change.
Nothing's changed particularly in our view of it. I think we just want to be clear on what our priorities are in that division. You know, if we have the option to, you know, drive the revenue better in 2015 and that will cost us a touch on the margin, our strategic direction at the moment is to take revenue opportunities and to drive the revenue opportunities in the division and put the division on a long-term footing going forward in terms of revenue growth. The margin improvement is something that we think is achievable, but it's not a specific strategic target for us in 2015.
Yeah. So if you are sort of pressing hard to get to your sort of fourth quarter growth target in that division, are you really saying, well, you know, we just got to sort of sacrifice that margin to get that target?
I'm not saying we're specifically looking to sacrifice it. You know, I think there is definitely an opportunity to improve the margin in that division, and it's something, you know, we will try and do. But just in terms of our priorities, we just want to be clear that our priority is putting that business on a revenue growth footing in 15 rather than a priority of improving the margin in 15.
Yep, got it. Okay, perfect. Thanks.
We will take our next question from Jonathan Barrett of M+1 Singer. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi guys, most of my questions have been answered, but I just want to pick up on that conferences margin issue just to make sure I'm clear. I mean, you have essentially raised investment above plan in that area, haven't you, for this year now, effectively, to support this extra growth opportunity which you seem to have identified. I just want to make sure I've got that right.
Yeah, and we are putting, you know, growth acceleration plan investment into knowledge networking in 2015. Some of those projects have kicked off around, you know, how they work with communities and how they have a community offer, a community-based and focused offer in their business. So those areas are specifically underway and in train in 2015.
Should we think about margin improvement sort of maybe coming through post-investment phase, so more like in 2017 then, just so that you've got all the investment in there and you've got then starting to see the revenue growth and bookings start to come through in late 16? Is that the sort of profile we should think about on margin?
I think you hit the theme of what we're saying is that I think this was a 17% margin business last year. Through the medium term, given the investments we're making, we think we can get it better than that. Not least because if you look in the portfolio, it's quite a mix of margins in there. You know, we've got events in that business that deliver exhibition type margins, but then we've got, you know, a sort of tail of smaller stuff that delivers pretty low margins. So, you know, if part of the plan is to focus the business and really get the best out of some of our best franchises and brands, I mean, naturally you would think that that could have a benefit to margin over time. So I think your sort of time scale's right. I mean, we'll see where we get to this year. We definitely want to try and get back onto that growth trend. But then, you know, through the next few years, we would expect, if we deliver on that and we get the business in the shape we want, that, you know, we can start to move that margin upwards.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, sorry, just a couple of follow-ups. Just in terms of Steve's commentary and question on knowledge and networking. I think Steve said that you guys had a target for growth in Q4, whereas my understanding was that you would hope to see growth looking out into 16 when you get to the end of Q4. I just wondered if you could clarify that. And then just on this knowledge and networking margin point, am I right in thinking that when you said that margin should improve in 15, you meant excluding any effects from the restructuring plan, the growth acceleration plan, when you made that comment back in February?
Yes, Nick, you're right that on the growth point, it is we're looking at growth on a run rate basis at the end of 2015 is what we're targeting, so that we are looking at growth into 2016 as the key target for revenue growth. In terms of the margin, the impact of the growth acceleration plan costs on 2015 is not enormous because the projects are kicking off in 15, and certainly any depreciation will be more of a 16 effect. So I think it's really an overall potential point that we think there is the potential to improve the margins over the medium term. The growth acceleration plan will be a little bit of a headwind on the division, particularly in 16. But at the moment, we think the 15 margin is something that you will continue to work on in the division, and that overall, we'd say it's probably going to be net basis, not dissimilar to where it was in 14, as the growth acceleration plan costs will be offset by any underlying improvement in the division.
Great, thank you.
We will take our next question from Matthew Walker of Nomura. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. It was just, again, as a question on the KNN margin. I mean, certainly in my model, my understanding was that it would be possibly slightly down in 15, because of the growth acceleration plan, not up. So I just wanted to check that. But it sounds like you've clarified it could be around the same level as 15. Sorry, around the same level as 14. So around the 16.9, even including the costs of the growth acceleration plan.
Yeah, it slightly depends on the phasing of the costs and how you model them. But I think net-net, that is that the 15 position is that you'd expect to be broadly on or around the 14 margin in that business, in the absence of any sort of change in the portfolio.
Okay, thanks very much.
As we have no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Great, thanks very much. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you've got any follow-ups, we're around all day if you want to get in contact with us. And we'll look forward to speaking to everyone again soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.